I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine.
Get on up. Get up, get on up. Get up. The game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
How you doing?
All right. Yeah. It's chilly outside, but that's okay.
I saw one of the craziest things I had never seen before coming in this morning.
What's that?
You know, from time to time we talk about our drive-in,
yep.
And it could be arduous depending on the weather or...
Or the circumstances.
I'm coming in 20, right? I get to where 285 is. Wow. No, that's in Buckhead, because I was going to say this could be where I was. I saw a wrong-way driver, man.
It was a traffic red alert. We're looking up at a screen, folks, and we're seeing All some right. cars completely blocked. And Buckhead around Highway 400.
It's where, where Georgia 400 meets comes into Sydney Marcus.
Yep. So if you're headed that way, folks.
Right there at the Home Depot and the dump and all that area.
That's not good right now. That's all lanes seem to be blocked right now.
Yeah.
So we're giving you a little heads up.
That's what we do.
As we tell you about our travel in.
Well, I can't compete with that. Mine was just something I saw. This is an actual thing. People kind of need to avoid that area. So you're coming off the connector. You get off there at, I want to say... Yeah, it is a Sydney Marcus exit if you're coming down 400.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's you're actually on Sydney Marcus. And
it could be before you get to Sydney
Marcus.
Yeah,
it could be. But that little area over there would be very...
And now they're talking about our pain in the you-know-what. Really? Talk about what's happening right outside our window here.
Well, Sports Radio 92.9thegame.com. There were some actual things going on in the world of sports, which we'll get to in a second.
We will.
I got to say I'm coming into the building at dark 30 this morning. And I see Mr. Crenshaw get ready to turn onto where he normally turns onto 15th Street, and they're not letting you turn onto that street because of the construction going on here at Colony Square. And you sat there and looked like if you looked at it hard enough, maybe the roadblocks would move or something.
No, they weren't going to move. We had to turn around and go around. But that was after I encountered what I encountered on 17th Street Bridge. You'd be coming off 17th Street Bridge near Atlantic Station, coming back over toward Peachtree Street. Folks, you won't be able to get to Peachtree Street today. They've started construction on some monstrosity of a building right there on 17th between Spring and West Peachtree. And that thing is totally blocked. You're not going to come that way. You're going to make it go around it, come up by the Art Center, Martyr Station, and zoop back around that way. So
what was that word?
Zoop.
Zoop?
Back
Cab Calloway or something?
No, that's what's happening, folks. And I guess it's a weekend. It's a chance to get the work done, and they're getting it done.
And that's the way, you know, we are affected by it. We are the first ones to give you notice of some of these things from time to time. And, you know.
You headed to this part of town. Just remember that today.
So, question off the top.
Hey.
As we acknowledge, well, I'll pace myself with that. There's some famous things that happened on this date.
Okay.
When we start talking NFL, probably one of the guys who were up on that Mount Rushmore, this was a significant date for him.
Okay.
How's that for a tease?
Significant.
This was a significant date for a Mount Rushmore NFL personality.
Okay.
Yeah. So, do you think the Georgia Bulldogs woes are looking better now that they got themselves a new OC?
OC and quarterback.
Yeah, okay.
The combination of the two.
We knew about the quarterback.
Well,
but
the combination of the two. They got somebody else coming in, and that's the big thing we're talking about. Todd Monken is coming in as offensive coordinator, coming in from the Cleveland Browns. He's going to bring some new things as far as the offense goes, obviously, but you've got a new quarterback coming in as well with some different – a guy who has some capabilities that we expect to see more of. Saying that Jake Fromm couldn't move and get out of the pocket. We expect to see this new quarterback do more of that for Georgia. So,
is it Coley? James Coley? Is that the new assistant coach, too?
Assistant coach.
Can you see anybody?
He's just being reassigned. He's already on the
staff. I get it, but here's the thing. Assistant head coach.
Yes.
Do you see Kirby acquiescing to anybody else's opinion?
Well, no, but, I mean, he's someone, obviously, that he respects his opinion and obviously gives him – and obviously he has – duties and responsibilities.
I get it.
That's the thing.
Just that title.
You know, you when you're at the top, you administrate, and so some coaches do that better than others.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to have great people around to administrate. That's the thing. If you don't have great folk around, then you end up trying to do everything. So I think it's an exciting move. for University of Georgia.
We're going to talk about, speaking of coaching movement, when we start talking NFL later in the show, which we will do with our own Russell Baxter, who's joining us on a Saturday as opposed to a Sunday. He'll be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yep.
Want to get into the coaching movements going on, especially what's happening up with the Giants, because that's just perplexing. And I got some thoughts on that. But speaking of football, what was going on? And I was trying to think back, what was going on in the season, the 03 season? That was Michael Vick. He was still here. And that was the last time the Falcons changed their uniform.
Okay.
And it had been 17 years. Why? I mean, obviously, we know why, revenue stream and all that sort of stuff.
That type of thing. But, well, yeah, you have some different variations of the uniform, but basically the same. I mean, you can come out with different colored pants and whatnot with it. But the idea was the bird changed, you know, from the bird that they had had, the Falcon they'd had from the inception of the team.
Right.
So that was the thing. I don't think that's changing. I think I'll be very surprised if we got a different Falcon. You think we get a different Falcon?
I don't know. But I was sitting there, and I was honestly going to tell you that I don't know that if you put them – just a drawing of both of them, would you know the difference between an eagle and a falcon? Excuse me, a falcon and a hawk. Just an outline drawing. I don't know that I would know the difference. You saying talking about changing the bird, a knucklehead like me, they could put a hawk up there and I would go, oh, that looks good.
Unless you really knew.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I am not an ornithologist.
Okay, it's nice that you knew that word.
I mean, I'm a Charlie Parker fan. I'm a Charlie Parker. I know all about Bird. All the dudes are standing on the corner. Listen, so Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I did not see it, but apparently there was a very uplifting win last night for our Atlanta Hawks.
Good week for the Hawks, by the way. They went over Phoenix earlier this week. And they look more like the team that we had hoped to see when the season began last night in San Antonio. Had a fantastic first half. Kind of took the foot off the brake there to start the second half and fell behind by 15 and then battled their way back. I think it's a big win because of the team that they built, the team that they beat, full of veterans, although San Antonio.
Yeah, but it ain't that San Antonio team.
But it's still an experienced veteran
big
team.
Big road win. That's the way you look at
big
it.
Big road win and the way they came back and won it with Kevin Huerter making that late shot to win it. Fantastic win for the Hawks. We had Trae Young, 31 points, 4 rebounds, a double-double for John Collins, 14 points for Vince Carter.
Who was honored last night.
A great pregame video. And there is old college nemesis, Tim Duncan, now an assistant coach. He looks strange being an assistant coach, by the way.
I want to get back to that in just a second. But Trae was talking about this victory.
I mean, this is a big win for us. I think they were talking about this is our first win since 1997. So that's a big, big deal for us, especially with the way our season's been playing. So it's good to get a win.
I think about that for a second.
First win since 1997. You know who's playing for San Antonio in 97?
All right, I can come up with one.
Right.
Doc Rivers.
Dominique Wilkins.
Wasn't it funny that both were on that team, but Nick played for San Antonio,
Nick
too.
Nick was playing for San Antonio the last time the Hawks beat them.
Wow.
Pull that
out of someplace.
Wow,
man.
Yeah. So that was a big win last night, like I said, and with Vince Carter having a great tribute last night, Tim Duncan sitting there, he just looks odd sitting there as an assistant coach.
But you know what?
He looks strange.
It's just the fact that not just sitting there, that he wants to get into coaching. Because I would think, traditionally, a day and a half after the season ended, championship season or not for them, that dude was in flip-flops.
Yeah.
Down in the Caribbean.
Yep.
Going back home.
And a guy, like you said, who we've always known, he played behind a mask. You never knew any emotion with him at all. You know, not very animated. He just went out and found ways to beat you. That's the way he played the game. I don't know how you pass that on to guys that you're trying to teach.
You
the
don't
game.
Because look who he got it from, and he didn't take. I mean, he took some of it, but it was a quiet strength about him and his career, and he got that from the Admiral.
Yeah.
And the funny part about that is the coach couldn't be more bombastic at times. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But for him to go through this again, I've talked about this. He is on that. He's in that club of champions, all time champions. Who you go? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I got into this this past week
because of the way he did it. Because of the way he did it, it wasn't a lot of look at me and whatnot. He just went out and did the thing. So the Hawks are back home tonight against Detroit, and welcome back Jeff Teague.
That was a head shaker, wasn't it, when you heard that?
So Jeff Teague back will be in uniform tonight when the Hawks take on the Detroit Pistons. You can hear that game here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Mike.
Well, I'm here. Feel free to
go right here. Go right here.
Go ahead,
you want to do that? I can do that?
Yeah, you can.
Outstanding. I'm being allowed.
Hang on a second. Sam's going to let you know what's happening here.
Okay. Let me see. Oh, right here. Tonight, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Hawks and Pistons, pregame at 7 o'clock, tip-off at 7:30 over at State Farm Arena.
That's good news.
Yeah.
I had some bad news, along with a lot of other folks, and it made your lip go up. In a way, when you heard the news about Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, man.
It made me think, that dude didn't even want to stay in the National League. He just came over here for a cup of coffee, let everybody know he was healthy again, and went back to the American League. That's the way I look at it. And listen.
And we all had our hopes. Man, we wanted to see that guy stay because of what he did on the field, but also his presence in the clubhouse. Big for the Braves team, man. I was really disappointed to hear that. Really disappointed.
I don't know, though. I don't know what to make of it. And the good news for us getting worked up into a lather about the Braves is that the Astros took every little bit of baseball off the front burner this past week.
We're going to get into that today. I mean, this morning. We're really going to get into that because that's something that's, I don't know if we just ticked up the iceberg or something, and there's going to be more fallout from this, especially between now and the start of training camp.
The irony is that this is all this sport does is cheat. They openly cheat. At least the people in the SEC and college football go, psst, if they ain't cheating, they ain't trying. And they kind of do it out the corner of their mouth. Baseball, it's all about cheating. It's all about from hiding signals to the third. If you don't have cheating going on, what's the point of having a third base coach or first base coach?
Well, you got to be smart enough to figure this out.
Well, that's the word, smart. The phrase, smart enough. Man, we're not done. We're going to get more into this.
Yeah, we're going to get into this because this is amazing what's happening. And the way the decisions have been made and the swift, you know, this has happened swiftly. They didn't wait and deliberate about this at all.
As Mr. Crenshaw said, just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to get back to this scandal next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning. Did we say that already?
Morning.
Okay, let's do it again. It is Sam and Greg.
Yeah.
Listen, when you think back to this past week, by the way, I had a pretty good week.
Yeah, pretty good.
I was with your girl earlier this week.
Who was that?
Candace Parker.
Ah.
I'll talk about that during the casting call.
Do that. How was she? You good?
She was tall. Was she tall, she is probably the most beautiful, tall woman, the tallest woman with, how do you say this?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
What's the tallest woman that you think you've ever been around?
I've met her before. And right? And you know what? I've interviewed.
She's beautiful.
Twice. I'll interview she and Lisa Leslie.
Okay.
Right in the same spot.
That's one and one A. Yeah. I'll let you decide which one is which.
How about that?
But you don't normally see women over 6'6" that are stunning. Right?
Yeah.
And she is stunning.
Yes, she is.
All right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
If I mess that up, I apologize. Except she's back in LA and she can't hear this.
Usually.
But this past week, when all this stuff started with the Astros.
Yeah.
And we've heard all manner of things as the week has played out. This has been interesting. This really, I mean, you think about it. This is the week we should have been talking national championship, which we haven't talked about.
No.
We ain't talked about Go Tigers.
Talk
about old Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
And talk about the NFL playoffs going on.
Yeah.
And baseball has dominated the conversation this past week, even with some NBA stories, too.
Right. But baseball has taken its place. And usually, this is the time of year when you just, you know, you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for guys to get ready to head for Florida or Arizona for, you know, in spring training. And
so we're waiting for.
What is happening, man?
We got
some news. And you know what? It's something that people always, we mentioned that in the bullpen. It's something that people think they see or people, you know, that people suspect anyway. But all these signs are being given, arms being and hands being rubbed and your butt being scratched and winking and whatnot. You know, people don't know what a lot of that stuff means. You figure the guys in the dugout know. And a lot of it's smoke signals.
Right.
A lot of it's just smoke screen. Somewhere in there is the real sign.
But
a real signal or whatnot. But the thing of it is, can the other team decode that and know what it is? And you figure they would do it by legal means. If you see
What's legal means?
If you see somebody do something so many times, you figure out, okay, that's what it means. By watching and observing closely what that well, manager
you,
does.
You don't defuse the law, though. You don't defuse if somebody's breaking a rule or somebody's doing something. There's no way to police it. In other words, we hear this all the time. How'd you guys have success on so and so during this series? Well, this particular pitcher was tipping his pitches, and they knew the other team knew how that was going on. Okay, yeah. Now Rob Manfred. And by the way, this was my first thought when all this started. When people started falling by the wayside like dominoes.
Yeah.
When did Rob Manfred turn into David Stern?
Yeah.
I mean, he came down heavy and hard.
When you consider where the sport is and has had to continue to deal with the lingering aspect of the after effect of the steroid case, he said, you know what, this sport can't afford to have something like that lingering. I have to act swiftly. And I think that's basically a lot of what played into his decision to do things swiftly and act the way that he did. And we're seeing some teams that are, you know, pennant contending teams having to rush around and find new managers right before they go off to spring training. But they're having to do it because of what was going on. And, you know, there are a lot of things that you watch. And we talk about the film room with other sports. There's film room with baseball, too, now. You know, so there's video when the guys are getting ready to face a certain pitcher. They watch video.
Not all of them, though.
They watch video of that pitcher before they go out to see anything that he does.
But it's not mandatory like football. Like all the offensive or defensive players get into a room with the coach and they go over stuff. Not everybody was Tony Gwynn.
It's just up there and available for everybody.
Exactly.
In the clubhouse. It's there if you want to watch it. You know this is the guy you're facing today. You want to watch and see if he moves his arm a certain way or leans a certain way. If it gives you an idea of what kind of pitch he's going to throw you. That's why you sit and you watch that. I mean, it's not like broken down in the film room. No, it's just shown in the clubhouse and guys watch it if they want to. Okay. But it's available to you, you know. And that's legal. That's part of your preparation.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is something that was – and the way we're talking about doing it, the way that, the thought that had to go into it and the process, they had to get this thing down right to the second to relay it in time for the batter to have a clue
These guys worked this was one of the Motions 11 kind of things. This was so – you imagine the work that had to go into this to get that little bit of knowledge on the off chance that, A, they weren't knowing what you were doing, and, B, your guy was going to be able to pick it up and know what was coming, and then still execute. Because even if you know it's coming, the hardest thing in the world to do is hit a baseball.
That's true.
All right?
That's
true. And so he still has to execute.
But if you're that batter, you still know what you hit that pitcher better than not. You know if he's coming with a fastball, you hit his fastball better than his curve. Or his changeup, and if you find out his fastball is coming, well, man, you know that's you on go.
There's a couple things that ran through my mind this past week while this was going on. By the way, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Just joining us, talking about what's been happening this past week in Major League Baseball with the Astros and how this all played out, and of course then the Red Sox and then the Mets, and guys were falling by the wayside, but the way we saw the owners step in a way that we haven't before to protect their product.
Yeah.
All right. Now, there are some owners who are a little bit, in other words, and we know this has nothing to do with it, but for instance, were this to happen or something like this in the NFL, and it happened with the Cowboys, you think Jerry Jones could stand up there with a straight face and tell us all he know nothing about it?
No.
Okay. So my point is that there are some owners who are more entwined in what's going on with the day-to-day operations than others. I don't know anything about the Houston Astros owner other than him standing up on a podium, you know, getting a World Series trophy the other day or last couple years. I know about some of the pitchers who have been allegedly above board, most notably Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Right? This is the dude who came off popping in the middle of the season in July. We don't have audio, and there wasn't any. But remember, he was talking about juiced baseballs.
Right.
And at Major League Baseball, wanted to see more home runs. Well, your team took that and ran with it, didn't they? I just thought that was kind of ironic.
Yeah.
But here's my stance on this whole thing, and I'm going to say this because I don't have to dissect any sort of speculation about this and that. And the whole Tony La Russa thing, while I enjoy that because I'm not a big fan of Tony La Russa.
And that's going back some years.
That's what I'm saying. That's like 83 because he was with the White Sox then.
Yeah.
But they're saying this is the technology.
That's a whole different. I'd like to know what the mechanism was for that, if that's happening back then compared to now.
Well, he had a little thing with Garrett's popcorn there, and they had the camera inside the popcorn because it was at Comiskey Park on the south side. excuse me, on the south side.
It was a VHS thing because it was getting it from Blockbuster or something.
But they went after the GM.
Back then.
They went after the GM,
nice.
Right?
Yeah.
They went after the managers. They didn't have to go to players. They figured these guys, you're not going to get anywhere with them through their union, correct? That's why the players were exempt. Listen, Beltran was a player
right.
when he was with Houston, but now, you know, he's fair game as a manager, and he was, you know, allegedly the mastermind behind all this. But they didn't go after the players. Now, all they did was go after Geppetto here. In my mind, if you decide that you aren't going after the players because you don't want to fight their union, I have never said this before, but we have talked about it in a couple stances, instances, throughout baseball, that maybe it should be put here, maybe it should be put there. The home runs that happened after Ford Frick became commissioner and lengthened the season as opposed to, you know, when Babe Ruth played and all those records. Hank Aaron should have an asterisk because Babe Ruth only paid $154. No, no. But this, as far as I'm concerned, put an asterisk next to it and be done with it. Move on. Because, see, that'll hurt those players more than it will anybody else.
Well, they haven't taken the World Series away from them.
No, they haven't.
They haven't taken the trophy back. They haven't taken anybody.
Exactly.
They haven't taken any rings
so
back.
So then put an asterisk, because we know they've cheated. They got caught
at least
it.
Not,
this ain't speculation.
At least not yet. Because the only thing that baseball did was suspend these managers. The teams decided to fire them. You know what I mean?
Well, they suspended them on the evidence that they had. Manfred
right.
had evidence that these
but
guys
cheated. But he
still
had a job.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how do you affect the players. This is my stance, is how you come at the players. If there has ever been, in my mind, a clear-cut instant to use an asterisk, it's right now. Because this is a mark that will stay with them and everybody on that team. And everybody who follows baseball, even on the periphery, will go, hey, what the heck's going on with this Houston Astros and this Red Sox team? What'd they do? And then you'll talk about it. So this gets back in the same kind of lane that I occupy about Joe Paterno and Penn State. I don't think they should have removed those statues. You should have kept them there. Because from 25 years from now, unless you follow college football or you follow Penn State and you're taking your daughter there to go to that school and she doesn't see anything connected with this event that took place, they won't know about it. They just won't know about it. And this is different than the Fab Five cheating in Michigan.
Okay.
This is what
okay.
he did.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, leave something there so you have a discussion about what happened. Yeah, we came out the other end, and everything's okay now, but this is a storm we had to weather, and it was a big deal, and it affected the sport.
Who says the storm is over, though?
Right? I'm not saying it's
over. Because that's some people going to do a whole lot of singing between now and spring training.
Right now,
So, I mean, there's some other team. I promise you.
I agree.
You know,
100%. But if
because if a batter is getting this signal from somewhere else, what's the third base coach doing?
Okay.
Those are old dummy signs, right?
So
he's doing nothing.
So you don't do anything to a world champion? Listen, we're going to get back into this. But
they may not be the only world champion.
Coming up next, we are going to acknowledge a group of people who we have ignored, you and I, for the years that we've been doing this show. And it's time to say hello to them and welcome them into the fold and get a little information about their world. And I'm talking hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh, yeah, especially in our part of
hundreds of thousands of people.
Oh, yeah.
You guys stick around for that's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Georgia. Hey. It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Listen to Hawks GM Travis Sling every Tuesday. He's going to be chopping up with me and my man John Frick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning. It is Sam and Greg. And just want to let you guys know what's coming up next hour. We're going to be talking a little bit of business.
A little bit of business. Baseball. Dave Rumsey going to join us from Business Journal. What's Business Journal?
Okay, I was going to do that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you already did it, so I don't need to. I'll move on. Australian Open, going to talk a little bit about Coco and her first match. Welcome to the big time. And we'll be all about the NFL in the 8 o'clock hour. Russell Baxter is going to join us. But I want to get into something right now, Mr. Crenshaw,
yep.
that we've talked about this man. We've had him on the show. Well, we haven't had him on the show, but we've talked about him. I brought him up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I, one of the things I like to do at least, is land on a rock before anybody else does.
Okay.
We did that a few years back with esports, and then right. everybody started doing esports segments, right? And we hope to get somebody back to bring us up on what's regularly
Absolutely.
Going on.
There's so much happening.
But there has been one that it's been glaring that we have just ignored, and I feel kind of bad about it. And I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people participate in this.
And it happens right when we're on the air. When we're on the air, all weekend mornings, right?
So I think it's time that we acknowledge the amount of people who participate in hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
That listen to us on a regular basis. I'm not talking about a weekly feature, but a regular feature to find out what's going on. Now, first of all, if you had to guess how many hunters are in the state of Georgia, just pick a number.
I know there are thousands.
Okay. Well, yes,
many,
you're right.
I don't know how many thousands, but I know there are thousands.
I was going to say like 500,000. Want to welcome Tracy, who you've heard me talk about. And this is the segment we're going to kind of call it Up a Tree, because every time we talk to Tracy, he's up a tree someplace doing some deer hunting. Tracy, how many hunters would you say are in the state of Georgia?
Hey, good morning, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on. Currently, right now, if I'm not mistaken, it's around 640,000 to 700,000 registered voters, registered hunters in the state of Georgia.
Hang on a second. Let that soak in for
a
minute.
Yeah, really? Registered?
Yeah, that ain't counting the
folks
dudes
who just run out in the back quarter and start shooting.
Well,
well, and you also have a lot of people that hunt other states live in Georgia.
Okay. Yeah, so they can't be registered in one state. You got to be is it multi-listed? Is that the way to put it?
Can you do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, currently the Alabama deer season's currently still going on. So there are a lot of guys in Georgia that don't even hunt here in Georgia. They go to Alabama to hunt their deer season.
See what I'm saying?
So why is our deer season over? We still got deer, don't we?
Just the way it falls. Every state has different seasons and different start dates and finish dates.
So what's in season now here in Georgia?
Here in Georgia, it's currently we're hunting rabbit right now. Rabbit season kicks in December.
Oh, she couldn't find it. That's all right. Okay. We were going to give you a little Elmer Fudd right then.
No.
Here we go.
Yeah, rabbit season is
currently in quiet.
And me personally, I'm in the current coyote season.
Whoa.
We're currently hunting coyotes. We've got a coyote issue on the property where I hunt, so we're hunting those.
Okay, so let me back up a little bit. This is Tracy. I want to give out all his information here because, you know. And people got a certain feeling about hunters. I understand that.
Yeah.
But we have a group of people. I mean, what other sport do we talk about that we know? Okay, even though he said 600 and whatever, over 600,000 registered, we got a whole lot of hundreds of thousands of hunters that are heading out in their trucks 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, when we're doing what we're doing, and we don't acknowledge that group. We're going to start doing that.
Absolutely. I want to ask him about this group.
Hang on a second. I got to back up. I got to introduce him. You were just about ready to get on the roller coaster, ain't you?
Yeah, man.
Man, well, I got to set the man up, let the audience know who we're talking to here. And I need to have him tell a story, because you talked about deer season, Tracy, and you talked about it going on in Alabama, but not here. But this is how this all started, Sam. I'm having a conversation with him, and he said something about hunting deer that I never heard of before, and they have a name for a certain time of year when hunters are out hunting deer. And what was that story, Tracy?
It's called the rut.
You ever heard that, Sam?
No.
Toward the middle of November, the deer start their mating rituals. And the bucks, which are the males, they go into rituals where they start marking their territories and they start following the females. And that's normally when, you know, the trophy of deer hunting is a big buck, the big antlers. And normally a lot of your bucks travel nothing but at night. And when they're traveling at night, you can't see them, you can't shoot them because you're not allowed to hunt at night. But during the rut, they'll start following these does, and the does will move during the daylight, so the bucks will follow them during the daylight, which makes them more huntable. So your chances of killing a big buck or harvesting a big buck, let me say that, your chances of harvesting a big buck are a lot better in November than they are any other time of year.
So there's a metaphor for life there.
It is, and we're going to go right past that. He teed up a good one, but this is what I'm saying. This is knowledge I had no idea about, man. There. Tracy, our hunting.
Yeah, it's got to be something about don't be stupid.
That's true. He mentioned something, though. You mentioned coyotes, and that's in Georgia where we're hunting coyotes now?
Absolutely.
It's gotten to that point.
Coyote hunting has always been a thing in Georgia.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, too, currently – the reason we're doing it is we have a major issue. Coyotes kill all your game. They kill turkeys. They kill quail, and so on and such like that. But we've got an issue with the local people around the land where we're hunt. They're having a lot of their dogs come up missing, their pets.
Yeah.
So they're missing their pets. We also have a couple of local farmers that have cattle. And the coyotes are starting to go after their calves. So we've been asked to try to do something about it.
Wow.
Now, what the difference between how you hunt, and I'm not, I don't know what the game is, a gun, a rifle, or a shotgun?
Or a bow.
Or a bow and arrow.
Right.
Where's the breakdown like when you're doing deer? Is it both or all three, or is it just one? Like when you're up a tree, what are you using?
A rifle. Now, archery can be used up a tree also. There's multiple seasons. You start out with your archery season, then you go into your gun season. But basically how to define it is, I guess when you're hunting a large game, you're going to be using a rifle, more powerful, you know, longer shot, so on and so forth. And when you go to your smaller game, you're going to be using a shotgun. You can also hunt your large game with archery, but basically your shotgun is going to be good for rabbit hunting, upland birds, squirrel hunting, and stuff like that. To where your deer hunting, it's either going to be archery or rifle.
There you go. Did you learn something this morning?
I did.
All right, so this is what we're going to do.
It's going to be a pop quiz on this later.
So, Tracy, you already your day's been a few hours old already, right? You guys are getting hunting and all that
stuff. Yeah, we loaded up at 4:30 this morning.
Yikes.
So those are the folks that are listening to us. So we're going to check in with you. Tracy, and I want to get this right. You're an avid outdoorsman, right? That's the way to call you?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's my boy here. And so we're going to have Tracy check in, you know, maybe once, a couple times a month, and let us know what's happening in the world of hunting. But we got all these hunters and fishers, he can talk fishing too, that listen to us on a regular basis, and we need to embrace them.
Hey, thanks a lot for the knowledge.
Hey, I appreciate the call, guys.
Hey, appreciate
it. Looking forward to the next one.
You got it, Trace. Drive safely today, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it.
All right, now.
That's my boy, Tracy, man. Yeah, and he'll tell you everything you need to know about hunting.
We're hunting coyote around here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.